many times I get all bound up. I wonder what I'm going to say. And then Doc made it easy on this morning. He says, tell them what you're going to do. So that makes it real easy when they tell you what you're going to do. And I wish sometimes he'd just tell me what to preach. I don't mind doing that. I wish sometimes when I walk to the pulpit, sometimes I'll go to my wife and I'll say, sweetheart. I call her Bethy too, Bethy Bear, my sweetie pie. I call her all those good things. And I said, Bethy Bear, what do you think God wants me to preach tonight? She says, I don't know. I don't know. So whenever she comes to me and she says, what do you think God wants me to sing tonight? I say, I don't know. I don't know. It all comes back to you. It sure does. I want to talk about a subject tonight, really preach on a subject tonight that I think will be of a help to you. Let me tell you this, what I gleaned this morning from the message. I really appreciated it. This helped me out, this small phrase, and as trite as it seemed, I suppose, at the time, it really helped me out. When your decision maker is broken, don't use it. You know, I really like that. I took that with me. I'm going to use that. That's something that really helped me out. I find in counseling many times when I'm talking to people that their decision maker is broken. It really is. And they're basing it on feelings. That's a big fact right there. If your decision maker is pointed toward your feelings, you're going to make a big mistake. Big mistake. Some people say, well, let's just follow our gut instinct. Well, I'll be honest with you, friends. My gut instinct does not agree with God many times. Remember the thing, maybe I've said it before from here, when somebody says to slap you on one side of the face, you're supposed to turn and let them have the other side? Yeah, my gut instinct never says that. Ever. No. And it probably says the same thing yours does. So another thing that helped me out, young parents, listen, I hope you got this. We got many young parents in here. I've hung out with many of you already. I hope you got this morning about persevering with the little kids. I hope you got that this morning. You're not the only one. We're all in this together, okay? We're all battling together. I hope you got that this morning. Your kid is bad, my kid is bad, and we spank it out of them. And that was just that was between the lines right there. It was between the lines. That's not what he said. He said, keep to it. Keep to the stuff. And just keep going after it. It does pay off in the end. It really does. And I appreciate that. If Brother Chad wasn't sitting here, maybe it wouldn't hold the power that it had. But I see him. He's in the ministry. And so when he speaks up here, listen now. Listen, he knows what he's talking about with those different things. Another thing I wanted to say, I thought I might as well say it because everybody else wants to say it, I hate the devil. Amen. Yeah, I hope you do. I sure do. You say, I wouldn't say that too loud. Why? 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 Isn't greater is he that is in us, he that is in the world? Isn't that correct? Isn't that correct verse? Listen, as a matter of fact, in the Bible, you don't see it in the Bible, but it's going to happen because I'm going to be there. Right there when you're standing by the edge of the pit, remember, everybody's standing by the edge of the pit and they're looking out in the pit and they're saying, wow, is this the man? This is the man that wrought nations. This is the man that destroyed kingdoms. This is the man, and they're going to see how weak and feeble he is.
Yeah,
you say, what are they going to see at that time? Here's what they're going to see. They're going to see a devil whose head had been crushed.
Yeah,
and they're going to see that somebody that is weak and feeble, and all that the devil has, I want you to see this, is smoke and bluff and mirrors. That's all he has.
Yeah.
Whether in the deepest, deepest jungle in Africa, friends, I'm telling you, that's what he has, is smoke and bluff and mirrors. That's it. And it's all allowed by God. I understand. You say, why did God let all of these things on the scene? Why did God let the sin on the scene? And why does God let the devil on the scene? I'm going to tell you, friends, it's real simple to me. Because he'll show you that he'll destroy it. It shows you how great God is. That's why. Okay, you say, what's going to happen that day? Because everything you told me is going to happen. He is going to be thrown in the pit. And there's going to be a man in the front that's going to scream out, was this the guy? I think there'll be many people at that time. I'd love to be that man. You're not going to see it, but right before God throws him in, here's what's going to happen. Somebody's going to scream out and they're going to say, throw him fast and hard. Yeah, that's going to be me. I'm going to say that.
Amen.
I hope you are too. I am sick of the devil.
Yes, sir.
And I'm sick of Christians giving in to him.
Amen.
I'm telling you, friends, you got a new master now. His name's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just let him have control.
Amen.
Let him have control. Tonight I want to speak on your authority in Jesus Christ. That's what you have. You say, I don't feel like I have authority. That's good, because we're not talking about feelings. We're talking about fact.
Yeah.
Friends, my feelings will get me in trouble, but fact will keep me safe. And it'll keep me safe every time. So resting on the fact tonight of what you have, I want you to see in Ephesians, starting in verse 19. Let's stand in respect to God's Word if we could. Ephesians 1:19. This will help us out, I hope. Ephesians 1:19 says this, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? According to the working of His mighty power." Now, there's a couple powers in there. One of the powers is authority. Authority. Okay, I want you to see that. "Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet," that's Jesus, "and gave Him to be the head over all things according to the church." Let me stop here. Friends, it says according to the church.
Yeah.
I believe wholeheartedly it's talking about a local church.
Right.
And I will tell you this, this authority is yours here tonight if you're part of the church.
Right.
You say, "This body?" Yes, this body. That's what I'm talking about. That's who I'm preaching to. This is your area. This is your section. This is your part of the world. I am talking about this church. This authority can be yours. Otherwise, I believe it's stifled because we're in lack of obedience to God. You say, "How serious is the church in this day and age?" I believe it's God's divine tool. God's divine tool to see His gospel propagated throughout this entire world. It's His only tool, is the church. So friends, I want you to see that tonight. You can have that authority being part of the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Friends, I want you to see tonight that you have authority. You have authority from on high, not because of you, but because of your union with Jesus Christ. You do have authority. You may be seated. Say we're in New York City, and there we are in the middle of the city. I just talked to my brother this afternoon. It was his happy birthday, and we sang happy birthday to him, all three of my kids, my beautiful wife Beth, Christopher, Abigail, and little Emily. We all spouted out a couple tunes for him, happy birthday. And he gets excited about those things, but I talked to him. He's in the middle of the city. He lives in Manhattan, so I imagine to myself, I imagine there in Manhattan a man that's standing in the middle of the street. There's the man, and cars are rushing by, and some he waves on this way, and some he waves through this way, and some he has some good technique, and maybe a little bit of this, and he's pushing them to one side of the street and to the other. Can you imagine now that a semi-truck is coming down the road, and I don't know why he's in New York City, they just don't fit in New York City, but there he is, a semi-truck's blasting down the road, and he sees this man standing in an intersection. Now this man sees what's happening, he sees him coming, and he takes his hand and he sticks it up like this. Now, friends, that truck comes to a screeching halt. Why? Because it's not because that man can leap a building in a single bound. And it's not because he's more powerful than a locomotive and faster than a speeding bullet. It's none of those things. He doesn't have a big S on his chest, okay? He doesn't have bat wings and a Batmobile. That's not what he has. However, he does have a badge that says NYPD.
Yeah.
Okay? And the fact of the matter is, if he was a homeless man, I don't know if the truck would have stopped. But since he has a badge on, that truck's going to hit the brakes. Why? Because it means definite jail time, friends. I want you to see tonight that you have something much bigger than some badge on your chest, my friends. Behind you and in you is God, the God of heaven. The one that we see in Revelation spoken of, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm not talking about a baby in a manger, friends. That's how He identified with you. And I'm not talking about the son of a Jewish carpenter. That's how he identified with you. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The one that's seen up on top of Mount Transfiguration by Peter, James, and John. The one that we saw in His Shekinah glory, the omnipotent one. The one in every place, at every time, everywhere. Friends, that's who's behind you tonight. You can have the badge. I'll take the Christ. So friends, tonight we're talking about authority. It was Bob Jones Sr. that said this. The school is much different than what it was under his reign. But Bob Jones Sr. said this. He said, "You and God in every situation are the majority." You said, "Preacher, listen to me. Now I walk into a room full of atheists. You're telling me 2,000 atheists sitting there. You're telling me that me and God in every situation are the majority. I'm telling you God created the atheist, friend. I'm not saying He's ordaining it. I'm just saying He created their very flesh and bone." Yeah, friends, I'm telling you, you and God in every situation are majority. D.L. Moody thought so. D.L. Moody went to London and he put out a big scare, I guess, among the atheists. And he said, "Listen, anybody who wants to come can come." He says, "I am challenging all the atheists of London to come." Well, there were 2,000 of them that showed up. 2,000 sat out there. D.L. Moody stood up and he began to say, "Who wants a hymn?" Well, nobody wanted a hymn. They're all atheists. They said, "Atheists don't have hymns." So he said, okay, I'll pick one of my own. He sang a great hymn, and D.L. Moody wasn't a great singer by any means, wasn't a good speller, and wasn't good with the King's English, but he had God's hand on his life, so we'll take that. Then he proceeded to preach the gospel. He said, who will for Jesus Christ? And it's recorded that nobody moved. He said, open the back doors. They opened the back doors, and he proceeded to say, who wants to leave may leave. Nobody left. He said, okay, shut the doors. Again, he said, who wants to sing a song? Nobody said we wanted to sing a song. He said, we'll sing another one. So he sang another song, and he preached yet another gospel message. At the end of the gospel message, he said, who will for Jesus Christ? One of the atheists stood up and said, I won't for Jesus Christ. And with that, he sat back down. He said, open the back doors. They opened the back doors, and nobody left. He said, close the doors. He did that three more times, preaching the gospel five times, singing five songs. Friends, I want you to see something. At the end of that, he said, who will for Jesus Christ? And 500 of those atheists came forward and got saved. It sounds like there was a man that understood the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, he wasn't a Baptist. I don't agree with that. But I will tell you this. He did understand the authority of Jesus Christ. So did Shubal Stearns. Shubal Stearns planted numerous churches down in Sandy Creek, friends. And I'm telling you, you go down south and it would be hard-pressed to find some church down there had not been touched by that man. And you read of the evangelists across that country at that time in that era, friends, that had been beat and persecuted for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, I'll tell you, it'll make your skin crawl. They understood the authority of Jesus Christ. I am sick of tired of talking about people in the past. Because the past is past.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be high time if we stood to the plate and said, I will for Jesus Christ? Wouldn't it be high time that we took the theme and said, I'm going to get fired up, not something in and amongst myself, because there's fire in my bones. His name's the Holy Spirit, friends. He is fire.
Amen.
And He's in you. Friends, we can get fired up. It is the majority. God said very simply, He's talking about authority. So what is authority? Authority here is delegated power. And the key to delegated power is the force behind the user. So you have been given delegated power. The key is the force behind the user. We read of that in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So I want you to see today that you have authority. Now again, you've got to wash this feeling stuff out of your mind. Your feelings are not the issue. Because some of you come out of it, you say, I feel tired. You still have authority. You say, I feel weak. You still have authority. This is a positional truth that you can't get rid of. You say, why sin this morning? Welcome to the club.
Yeah, hello.
I'm telling you, friends, this is positional truth. You can't get rid of it. You can't sin yourself away from it. It's what you are in Jesus Christ. You have authority. You say, where does this authority originate? Here's where it originates. The soul's authority originates from its contact with Calvary. You ever come in contact with Calvary? Friends, I'm telling you this, that's where you get your authority. Okay, let me put it this way. Ephesians 1:21 says this, far above all principality in power, in might, and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. You're given authority, friends. Here it says this, and hath put all things under His, that's Jesus' feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Christ is the authority, thus your authority originates from the authority. Does that make sense? Christ is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He is seated in the position of authority. And you, friends, according to Ephesians, when you got saved, you're in Jesus Christ. You're in Him. He's in you. It's taking a sponge and putting it in water. Okay, it's really, that's the illustration. And the water is in the sponge, and the sponge is in the water, and it's surrounded by the water. You're in Jesus Christ, friends. That's your position. That's something you can never lose. You say, what if I sin? Never lose. You can never lose that. You say, what if I shake my fist in the face of God? I'm sorry, friends. You're stuck. You're part of the family.
Amen.
You can't get out. That's the way it goes.
Yeah, it is.
So, friends, the fact of the matter is you're in Christ. Christ is in you. Doc talked about this morning. Let me say this very shortly. Jesus, when He died on the cross, He conquered sin, death, and hell. So when you came in union with Him, you tell me what happened to you. You conquered sin, death, and hell. Wow. Friends, it's great positional truth. You've got to see it this week because there's people. There are people that you need to talk to invite out to this missions conference, friend. There's people that you haven't even opened your mouth to yet. Now, I know some of you are because I've been to your place of work and I've invited that same person and they told me that you've invited them. Friends, I'm telling you. Now, she knows who she is, okay? I'm not going to point her out. But I'm just telling you this, friends. There's people out there that are doing the work and they're depending upon the authority they have in Jesus Christ, not on their feelings because they're nervous.
Yeah.
But friends, I'm telling you today, this is why we don't go out soul winning. This is why we don't pray. This is why we don't live, as it were, the Christian life, because we think it's all about us and we leave Christ out of the picture.
Right.
And friends, all I'm telling you here tonight is it's not about your authority, it's about Christ. Doc talked about this morning in Matthew 28. Verse 18 says this, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." You know what that power there is? Authority.
Right.
Authority. He's saying, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth." Then you know what he says for the soul winner? He says, "Go."
Yeah.
You know what the implication is? The only one that's receiving authority in that passage is Jesus Christ giving it to the soul winner.
That's right.
He's giving you all authority. That means you can step into any situation, proclaim the gospel, and the gospel's going to do what the gospel's supposed to do. You say, is everybody going to get saved? Friends, that's not what I'm saying. By the way, you say, do you think only Baptists are going to get saved? No, I don't think that's the case, but I think if you're going to go to heaven, you ought to go first class. Amen.
Yeah.
Let me help you out with this a little bit. What is authority? Authority is delegated power. Where does it come from? It comes from the very throne of Jesus Christ, where you sit in heavenly places with Him in union, heirship. You're a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Friends, I want you to see, you are, when He looks down, you are clothed in Christ's righteousness, not your own. When God looks down, listen now, He sees you as holy, as perfect, as righteous, as justified. Friends, that's what He sees you as. No merit of my own, His anger to suppress. My only hope is found in Jesus' righteousness. So you got to see it tonight, friends. You do have authority. You're entitled to it because you're a child of the King. So the entitlement is very simple. Ephesians 2:5 says this, "Even when we were dead in sins, He had quickened us. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace He is saved." Friends, you're alive with Jesus Christ. You're no longer dead. You no longer have to turn on to sin any longer. You don't have to let that be your master anymore. You don't have to be under the bonds of sin. The chains are broken off. They're gone. You know what that means? Your little brother doesn't push your buttons anymore. Does that make sense? Listen, the devil may know what buttons to push, but those buttons are out of order. They can push them all they want. Teenager, don't you think I'm just talking to the adults, friends? And if you're 9 years old in here today, don't you think I'm just talking to the adults? I'm talking to you.
Amen.
You are entitled to just as much authority as this preacher is entitled to.
That's right. Amen.
You can be used just as much as this preacher can be used.
Right.
Friends, you got to see it. You got to see you're entitled to this authority. He hath raised us up together, that's us, friends, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's your position in Jesus Christ. So you say, who's entitled to this authority? Anybody in union with Jesus Christ. Are you in Christ today? Has there ever been a time we've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, saw that you were a sinner, saw that you deserved hell, and saw that Jesus Christ was your only hope for heaven? Friends, I'm telling you, you're entitled to His authority.
Amen.
Very simply, if you're saved, you're a candidate for Christ's authority. My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in His hands. Of rubies, of diamonds, of silver and gold, His coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King.
Yeah.
And friends, so are you. It's not just a song, and this ain't a pep rally, friends. This is a reality talk.
Yeah.
It's high time in churches that we get out and start doing in His authority, not in ours.
Yeah.
You don't have authority because you're a Baptist. You have authority because you're a child of the King.
Amen.
I just think you ought to be a Baptist. I think I can get that in as many times as I can. I'm going to try to get it in as many times as I can. You say, why? Because people have bled and shed and died for that, friends.
Right.
I'm telling you, friends, it's high worth it. And it's high time we see it. I think this is the best church in town. There are some others that come close, I'm sure. But I think this is the best church in town. It says this, the elevation of... Yeah, amen. I saw that. I heard that. Amen. Say that again. The elevation of His people with Him to the heavenlies has no other meaning that they are made sharers, potentially for the present, of the authority which is His. This is what I want you to get. They are made to sit with Him. That's Jesus. That is, they share His throne. Now let me stop here, because some of you are saying this sounds pretty supernatural. I want you to see what I hold in my hands is a supernatural book with supernatural words from a supernatural God that wants to supernaturally enable your life.
Well,
and friends, it's high time. It is high time that we let Him do it. Listen, the only problem with the Fisher family is Mike Fisher, is the leader. That's my name, is Mike Fisher, just in case you didn't know. I'm the problem with the Fisher family. It's my faith, friends. It's my need. So if I know there's a weak and beggarly element in the Fisher family, it's my fault. And friends, we just got to take responsibility and say it's nobody else's fault but my own. It's nobody else's fault but my own. The reason why I don't see souls saved isn't because I don't have the authority. It's not because I don't have the King of Kings backing me. It's because I don't want to. We've got to call it for what it is, friends. Right. Doc talked about this morning, basic Christianity is what he talked about. Basic obedience, basic. You know what? Soul winning and praying is that.
That's right.
That's what we talk about in basic discipleship class. Don't we? Friends, I'm telling you, we need to get past it. Talking about Jesus out roll off our lips. I'm not talking about your feelings, and I'm not talking about ever not feeling scared ever again. I'm just talking about what we are in Jesus Christ. We've got to start exercising that authority.
Amen.
It doesn't matter about your 401k, friend, if nobody hears about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. You say you're young. Friends, I live paycheck to paycheck. I've got a big tin can I travel in out there. I don't have a home that I go to, friend. I'm preaching because I know. I'm just telling you. Friends, we're in base Christianity. We need to get past it. You say, okay, to share a throne, here it is, means without question, to partake of the authority which it represents. You share a throne with Jesus Christ. He doesn't have to do that, but He loves you that much.
Amen.
Now, friends, it is supernatural. I'm talking about supernatural things. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about Acts, New Testament Christianity. Did you know that that book never stopped? Ever? Did you know it continues on? And it ought to continue on in what we would call the church age.
Yeah.
In what we do nowadays. You say, we're talking about being Pentecostal. No, I'm talking about being Bible.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't claim any name to fame and any other type of sanctification or anything like that. I'm telling you, I just claim the Bible. That's it. Okay, so very simple. Now I got that out. It says this. So how do we access authority? This authority. Here it is. Ephesians 1:19. This was our text. This is how we access it. Because this is what we know. Okay, preacher, I know we got it. We got authority, of course. Come on. Christ in me, the hope of glory. All right, I got it. And we all know that. But practically what happens is we know it in here, but we don't appropriate it out there. Isn't that what happens? Listen, man, we get stirred about soul winning. We're going to get stirred about missions. And some of you kids, listen, you're going to get called to preach. And some of you older folks, don't shut her down, buddy, because you can get called to preach too. We could place you in China next week. It doesn't matter if you're 80 years old. We could place you in China next week teaching English. They would love to have you. And you could be part of some covert church. Wouldn't that be awesome, Doc? I'm telling you what, I'd love to do something like that. I praise the Lord for what He's called me to do, but boy, I'd love to. I'd get rid of some of those other parents in the public school. I'd just go over there for a while. We'd have a blast. Friends, I'm just telling you, don't you ever think that you can't sell it all and go to the mission field.
Right.
That used to happen all the time. You know what they used to do in the first century? You know what the biggest deal was? People going out and being martyred for Christ.
Yeah.
They have to hold them back from going out and being martyred for Christ. Now, we've come a long way since then. And I'm not saying we all got to go out there and jump off some building. That's not what I'm saying. If you want to, I guess. But don't do it. Don't say, preacher made me do it or anything. But please don't do it. Please don't do it. How do we access this authority? This is what we want to know. We want to know the footwork of it. Ephesians 1:19 says this, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe?" You say, okay, that can be rendered two different ways, and it really can because we've got two different mindsets right here. That either means to those that have believed in Jesus Christ for salvation. It can be rendered that way, or it can be rendered this way. Those who are present tense believing for that power. Can I help you out? It's both of them. It's both of them. You need to be saved, friends. You need to be believing on Jesus Christ, but you need to be depending upon Him for that power. Why? For without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Friends, you've got to see it. You've got to have faith that God's really going to do it. Now the problem is, again, I'm going to come back to it, is your feelings. They get in the way. I don't feel good enough. I don't feel... We're not talking about feelings, friends. Kick them to the curb just for a second. We're not talking about feelings. We're talking about facts. Okay, so very simple to us who believe. It says this, if we're walking in the Spirit, our normal Christian life is in the heavenlies. To secure the consciousness of this, there must be a daily acceptance of the fact. That's faith. Let us morning by morning, as one of our first acts of worship, take our seat with Christ and return thanks to God for all that implies. It's simple faith, friend. The same way you access salvation is the same way you access the Christian life. As therefore you receive Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Root up, establish, build up in the faith. It's that simple, friends. It's simple faith. Nobody had a problem coming in and sitting down tonight. Nobody was gingerly touching your chair and wondering if it was going to hold you up. You just sat down by faith. Now Doc and I could have snuck in and we could have sawed off all the legs. You never knew that. But no, you had faith that it was going to hold you up. Right? Friends, I'm telling you, that's how simple faith is. I'm talking about something more sure than a chair. I'm talking about the Creator of the world. Jesus Christ. Friends, He's the hope of glory. So very simply, I want you to see that all we need to do is have simple faith in Him. Here's one illustration, then we'll get to 1 Samuel. Very simply, I want you to see that it's like, let's put it this way. We're playing basketball and we're on Michael Jordan's team. Okay, if you were on Michael Jordan's team and I was on Michael Jordan's team, we'd be in the same place. We'd be riding the pine, okay? We'd be sitting on the bench. That's where we'd be. All right, so there we are watching Jordan win yet another basketball game. And there he is. Remember the 1997 flu game? You guys remember that? Does anybody ever remember that? Unbelievable flu game. He's worth 35, 40 points that game. It was an unbelievable game. Went on to win the series against the Utah Jazz. Unbelievable game. But I want you to see this. There we are. We're on Michael Jordan's side. And he's about ready to win. He's 35 points ahead. There's 45 seconds left in the game. And there we are with our hands in our face in our hands, and we're saying, I just don't think we're going to win the ball game. I just don't. It's just not going to happen. I just don't think we're going to win. And then the fact of the matter is, the ball game's been over now for 2,000 plus years, hasn't it?
Well, yep. Come on.
See what I'm saying? The battle's already done. But some of us are sitting on the bench. It's soul winning night, and Doc's asked me to come out soul winning. What am I going to do? You're going to go out soul winning. That's what you're going to do. Or you can sit on the bench with your head in your hands, and you're saying, I just don't think we're going to win. I don't think we won. I know everybody's patted me on the back. I know preacher keeps saying that we won the battle. The victory is ours. I know it happened, but I just don't believe it. I'm telling you, get off the bench.
Yeah.
It's already won.
Good.
Friends, the fact of the matter is, it can happen. It really can. Let's look at 1 Samuel and we'll be done. 1 Samuel. I act like we're really almost done, but it's a long illustration here. 1 Samuel. It's good, isn't it? I love this truth. I'm so glad I didn't write it, friends. I'm so glad I didn't write this. Because it would only be about as good as that door, but I'm telling you, this is God's truth, friends. It's God's truth. 1 Samuel says this in verse 17, or chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17. We'll start in verse 24. We'll do a quick illustration. We'll be out of here. That's what every evangelist says, huh? Forgive me ahead of time. Here we go. We're almost done. 1 Samuel 17, 24. I want you to see this, and you see this in David's life. When you exercise this type of authority, it does affect other people. Many churches that I'm in, and I'm not saying it's this case in this church, that's not really the case, but I remember when I got saved, I got saved down in Charleston, South Carolina, and there were dear folks in there. It was a big military church. I love to be in there. I love to go back down there whenever I can. I love the South, and I love the fried chicken, like Doc says. I love everything about it. I really do. I love collard greens. I love all those different things, catfish. I'm still preaching. Let me keep going. Friends, I remember when I got saved down there, people would look at our class, our college and career class. They just seemed to be on fire, man. They just trusted the Lord. They'd go out and have fun, see souls saved, get called to the ministry. They just have a blast. And I remember some of the dear older folks in there that'd say, it's okay. It's okay. That's going to wear off one of these days.
God have mercy.
One of these days, that'll all wear off. He's really excited now, but that always...
Have mercy.
Older folks, listen to me, please. I'm not admonishing you. I'm not trying to frustrate you. I'm just telling you, we're looking to you.
Amen.
We're still looking to you.
Amen.
You say, my hair's gray. I'm still looking.
Amen.
I'm still looking. I'm still looking to you to see God work in your life too. Friends, it has to happen. Every age group. There was a dear elderly lady that understood. She was bedridden. She understood about the authority of Jesus Christ. She says, I can't go out. She said, I want to go out on soul winning night. She always went out. She couldn't go out any longer. And the walker just wasn't working for her legs anymore. She couldn't get up. So she decided to do this. She took the telephone book, Doc. She started in A. Mr. Adams? Yeah, Mr. Adams, you don't know me. I'm Margaret from down the road. And I go to the Baptist church up the road. Mr. Adams, do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? Friends, I'm telling you, she'd lead people to the Lord over the phone because the gospel works. Friends, I'm telling you, don't ever give up on God. Here it is, 1 Samuel 17:24 says this, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, speaking of Goliath, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel as he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter's daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? I think David was setting something up. He was standing right there, friends. He said this, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You see two groups here. You see guys that are hiding behind rocks with their head in their sands. Okay, there they are. They got David's back, his way back. All right, they're there, but they're way back. And then you see David, a 15-year-old boy that has faith of steel. You think he was nervous? I do. I think he was nervous, friends. I think he was human. But I think he said, it's not about my feelings, it's about fact. I'm standing right here in the authority of Jesus Christ. And what he did is he stepped to the plate and he looked at Goliath out there who was 9'9" tall. And he said, who's in authority here? Goliath or God? Because it did say that every place your foot shall tread, you shall have it. In every battle you fight, my friend, God said you'll win it. You say, so how does that translate into the New Testament? It does not translate to the church as a whole. It translates to the New Testament believer.
Right.
Believer. Okay, let's go on. It says this, and the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother... Let me just stop here with Eliab, okay? He's about to say some things here. Let's just tell bless his heart. That's a good southern term, isn't it? Bless his heart. That means I don't agree with about what he's going to say, so let's skip down to verse 29. How about that? And David said, he didn't know we could just skip over him, did he? He wouldn't have said such dumb things. Here it says this, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Now, a lot of people park right here, friends, but I'm going to tell you, you say, what was this cause? The cause was not so much obedience to his father, but that was very important. That was not the cause. That's what got him into the cause. The cause was this. God. God was the cause. You got to understand that he walked on the scene and he looked back and he saw his heroes that are back here and back here. And there they are. They're hiding behind rocks with their heads in the sand. His heroes. And he steps to the scene and he says, isn't there a cause? Because it's implied that he goes to one person and says, is there not a cause? He goes to another person, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? It says that he went to many different people saying, is there not a cause? So friends, he's trying to stir up, as it were, faith. It's really what it seems like he's trying to do. Let's look at verse 40. It starts to get good. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. I don't think it's because Goliath had 4 older or younger brothers. I'll explain my position later. It's as good as yours. And put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine, and the Philistine came and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then here comes the goosebumps. I love this part. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies whom thou hast defied. You mark this down, my friend. He said, I'm not coming in my own strength. And you don't see it, Goliath, but my God is standing right here beside me and his foot is bigger than 9'9" tall. And he's going to squash you here real soon. It's in the Hebrew. You just got to look. Because I'm telling you, he's coming at Goliath. And he's saying, I'm dropping you. Do you got giants in your life, friend? What's it take to stop you? What does it take to stop you? a crass word, a different moment, a workmate saying, man, I don't believe in God, and then you're done. Friends, I'm telling you this. I'm telling you, what does it take to stop you? There's a lot of giants that are here. There's a computer at 2 o'clock in the morning that's waiting. It has pornography all over it. And we're waiting. Friends, what does it take to stop you? I want you to see, friends, that it ain't worth it. It's a giant that needs to be destroyed. And David's about to drop a giant. So what are the giants in your life? You will see that the giants are not the issue. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. By the way, when you're soul winning and you tell somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ, you mark this down, they're not going to see God that's standing beside you neither. But just let the gospel come out, because then they will. Okay, let the sword of the Spirit come out, because then they will. This day, verse 46, will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. Bold statements from a 15-year-old boy. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the... What did he just say?
Amen.
Here's what he said. By the way, where was the other army? Yeah, they had his back, his way back, remember? Yeah, they're back there. Heads in the sand, hiding behind rocks, watching David, thinking, yeah, he's dead. He is dead. No faith, living by sight. One man living by faith, this whole story. One man. There he is. He cries out and he says, big boy, I'm coming after you. And everybody behind you. Don't you see that the giants are not the issue, friends? They fall daily. The issue is what God really wants you to do, and that's decimate armies. Friends, the armies weren't coming from behind him saying, I got you, David. No, they're still hiding. He's only standing there. You say, prove that to me, I will. Here it goes on. It's not just Goliath he wants to drop. He wants to drop them all, because he says this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He goes on to verse 51. Therefore, after he dropped Goliath, didn't seem like a big deal. He just took a little pebble and sunk it in his forehead. Goes on and says, I'm going to destroy the rest of them now. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. What a sight to see. I hope God has things on DVD up there for us. Friends, I'm going to watch this. Over and over again. He did it again. He cut it off again. You see, that was a clean swipe. By the way, let me say this. I hope there's a lot of good things we can do in heaven. I hope we're looking forward to this. Let me give this little side note. I thought about this. I think we're going to have hunting in heaven. And I think every time we shoot that animal, it's just going to resurrect again. I really do. Because all those good hunters are going to get to those deer before I do. And I just want to have a chance at them. Okay, it worked. It worked when I said it in the trailer, Doc. It sounded much better out there. But it says this, and when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Now, where are the men of Israel? They're still behind rocks. David's out on the carcass, head in hand. And then, the men of Israel and Judah arose, still living by sight. And they shouted and pursued the Philistine. Friends, there's two types of people in here for this missions conference, friends, I'm going to tell you. There's people that are exercising faith, living by faith. You're becoming the island builder, some of you. You're saying, I don't have it, but I'm going to do it. And I understand I'm a missionary. I'm not talking about money, friends. You can give me nothing. You can give me nothing. Nothing. Then there's people living by sight. You're hiding behind rocks. There's people in here that win souls, tell souls about Jesus Christ. Then there's those that hide behind rocks. There's people here that pray, and then there's people that hide behind rocks. You want to drop some giants? You want to decimate some armies? You want to affect the lives of numerous people? Why not just have faith that God's given you the authority to do so? And appropriate it like God's not lying to you tonight. You say, okay, what did all that do? We'll be done. It says this. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. Adonai the Ezonite, he lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Eleazar, he arose and smote the Philistine until his hand was weary and his hand clave onto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned only to spoil. Okay, this is all the way in 2 Samuel, so bear with me and trust me that I'm saying it right. Shammah said this, Shammah, and the Philistines were gathered together in a troop, and there was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Abishai, he lift up his spear against 300 and slew them and had the name among the three. Now, I'm a bow hunter, friends. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could lift a spear up that many times and chuck it without God's strength, okay? Just being honest, I think you understood. Benai said this, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of the pit in the time of snow. He slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went to him with a staff. He plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and he slew him with his own spear.
Yeah.
Friends, I'm telling you this. You say, why do you mention David's mighty men? Because I believe wholeheartedly this, they were his seniors, many of them. And I believe they were the men that day, some of them standing behind them with their heads in their sand, hiding behind rocks. They saw one 15-year-old boy exercise his authority, and they thought this later on in life, if he's going to do it, I'm going to follow him. Amen. That's why they followed him out in the middle of nowhere, sleeping in caves, sleeping under rocks, with rocks for pillows, friends. That's why they did it. Because they saw a man that could exercise faith. And I'm going to tell you this. The world doesn't understand it. And maybe the person sitting next to you doesn't understand it. But it's high time. It's high time we exercise faith. And we exercise the authority that we have. You know what that means? That means tomorrow may be different for you. That means that person that you've been burdened about for so many years, you might just now be, it might be high time to witness to them. You said they might think that I'm a peculiar person. Welcome to the Bible, friends, because that's what you are. Friends, the fact of the matter is this. Popularity, pride, and peer pressure isn't only for the teenagers, friends. It permeates the workplace. So it's high time we say, God, God of all gods is my God. And I'm going to depend upon Him for His strength. It says this, when mountain walls confront the way, why sit and weep, arise and say, be thou removed, and they shall be by the power of God cast in the sea. All power on earth, all power in heaven, to Christ the Son of God is given. And from the throne He will endue, and hindrances will flee from you. Or all the power of fiend and men, say, through the Lord I surely can. Take from Him power on earth to tread, on serpent's sting, on dragon's head. Whate'er thou art, O mountain high, where'er thou art in earth or sky, when'er thou art, truth is the same, be thou removed in Jesus' name. Be thou removed, faith bids thee start, for yonder sea, arise, depart. I may, I can, I must, I will, the purpose of my God fulfill. Friends, you begin everything you need at salvation. It's not about us. It's about Him here on earth and exercising His authority. I'd ask every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. Let's do this, friends. Let's make it simple. And I don't know why we always bow our heads. It makes us comfortable. But I do want you to see this. If you can't acknowledge it now, you will not acknowledge it out there in the world. Nobody's looking. Just your pastor, he's the only one, the one that loves you, friends. He's looking around. He wants to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Friends, how many would say this? I got a giant in my way. I can't even get to the army yet. I got a giant that needs to be dealt with. I'm willing to deal with it tonight. Whatever that is, take the computer, pitch it out of the house, man. Whatever it takes to get that stuff out of your life. Getting right with another person, saying no to self and yes to God. Whatever it is, friends, there's a sin that God's been dealing with. Let Him deal with it. Maybe it's full surrender to what God wants you to do. Maybe you're a young man, an old man in here, and you haven't surrendered to that call to preach, but you know it's been going on for years. Maybe it is baptism. That is a surrender issue, friends. I don't know what it is. Maybe it is church membership. I don't know, friends. But I'll tell you, you and God know. How many would say, preacher, there is a giant in my life needs to be dealt with. I know that. Will you pray for me? Raise your hand. I see those hands. I see those hands. You raised it, you can put it down. Anybody else say, pray for me, preacher, pray for me. There is a giant there needs to be dealt with. Maybe I touched on it or didn't touch on it. That's not the key. The key is that God's touching on it. How many would say, that's me, preacher, will you pray for me? I see those hands, I'm glad we waited. God said this, He will lift up, He will give more grace to the humble. And friends, this is a humbling time before a young preacher, I understand. Anybody else say, that's me, pray for me? I see that hand, anybody else? Father, we do love and praise You. I pray for my dear brothers and sisters that raise their hand tonight that say, there's that giant. God, You have a whole army that You want us to defeat and destroy. You want our eyes to be fixed on the main prize and not on the giant. God, we don't want the only time that we meet with you to be when we're dealing with sin. We want it to be when we're destroying armies, when we're walking by faith. Lord, I pray that you be with my dear brothers and sisters tonight. Let them come all the way clean. Whole truck, unload, lock, stock, and barrel. Not 99.9, but 100%. Say nothing between my soul and the Savior. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. Give strength. Let light be seen at the end of the tunnel and not darkness. Jesus Christ, let you now at this time be lifted up. Let's do this. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to have an invitation.